Excellent.
All right. 1 minute. Give you guys another minute. If for some reason you had a ticket and didn't get a lunch, they're making more and bringing those. So. We'll have to schedule a meeting with the president of the Great Wolf Lodge. The King Wolf himself. Whoever that is, I don't know.
Is your name dropping there?
What's that? Is my name I don't know much about anything other than this. You know that. You know that enough about me, right? Ask me about sports, know nothing. That's where this guy comes into play. I get all my information from him. Okay. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it very much. All right. We're going to get started, folks. Thank you for joining us in today's lunch session. As Todd had mentioned, anyone who didn't get a lunch, they'll bring those in here. And certainly, as we conclude, we'll make sure that you're well taken care of for the rest of the day. So for those of you that haven't had an opportunity to meet me yet, John Bowens, I'm with Equity Trust Company. I'll do a more formal introduction in a few moments, but this is the class specific to underutilized, as I would consider, very powerful tax-free accounts. Now, some of you are more familiar with this than others. There are tax-deferred accounts and there are tax-free accounts. Now, although tax-deferred accounts can be considered powerful from a tax advantage perspective, I spend most of my time as an investor and I spend most of my time educating on the tax-free accounts. And you're going to see why that is in a little bit here. You'll oftentimes hear me say compounding interest in the absence of taxation. You guys are in the presence of a lot of what I would consider sophisticated investors, investors that are really doing some amazing things with Roth IRAs. I know there's one gentleman in particular in here. He may raise his hand at some point or another. He tends to do that to share some of his experiences with Roth IRA investing. But I am going to be talking about the HSA as well and the solo 401k. So there are three tax-free tools that I want you to write down at the very beginning here. You see the first one, HSA, health savings account. I consider this probably the most underutilized out of all three. Much of that is because of the lack of education and information with respect to how this account actually works and what it could be used for in the short term and long term tax-free. The second you see there, solo 401k, I'll talk about that more towards the end. And then, of course, Roth IRA and how you can convert your pre-tax money into a Roth account. By show of hands, who here has a pre-tax old employer 401k, 403b, thrift savings plan, simple IRA, SEP IRA? Okay, excellent. What I'm going to teach you is some strategies around how to convert that money now and pay taxes now so you don't have to pay the taxes later. So the concept is, why not pay taxes on the seed rather than the much larger crop, especially for those of you that are investing utilizing creative financing strategies. For example, I have a client that does real estate joint ventures. I'll show you an example of that where he partners his Roth IRA with another investor, and then he takes a disproportionate percentage of the profits. On one transaction alone, I'm going to show you where he made $34,000 tax-free. He used his Roth IRA, invested $13,000 and some change, and he made over $34,000 tax-free. So you will learn that even with a smaller amount of money in a retirement account, whether it's a Roth IRA, solo 401k, or HSA, you can get started and you could start making tax-free profits. Compounding interest in the absence of taxation. It's very, very powerful. Just a quick bio about myself and the company I represent, Equity Trust Company. John Bowens, I'm the Director of Education and Investor Success. I've been doing this for over 15 years. I've educated over 70,000 investors. I think many of you have seen me at some of the events around the Ohio area. For those that haven't met me before, my background as a real estate investor, I lend money secured by real estate. I also invest in rental properties outside of my retirement accounts. In other words, I invest inside and outside of these tax-free accounts that we're talking about. I tell you that because some folks, after they come to one of these trainings, they get very, very excited about tax-free investing. But what you have to understand is you might not be able to do all of your investments inside of a tax-free Roth IRA. David, if you don't mind me asking you, do you do every single deal inside of your self-directed Roth IRA?
No, my wife likes to spend money, so I have to keep her happy first.
So David does deals outside of his IRA very, very well to keep his wife happy now, but then does a lot of deals in his Roth IRA because all of the profits are tax-free. So when he's in his retirement years, he now has a tax-free account that he's able to draw on and pay 0% tax. So my background is an educator, a trainer, if you will, but also as an investor and entrepreneur myself. Equity Trust Company, we've been doing this now for over 50 years. Our company founder, his name is Dick Desich. He's widely known as the pioneer of the self-directed IRA industry. He grew the business starting in 1974 with just a handful of clients to now over 300,000 accounts and over $56 billion in assets under custody and administration. We also are a qualified intermediary for 1031 exchanges. A lot of people don't know that about us. Through an acquisition about a year and a half ago, we have a qualified intermediary that's been doing this for over 20 years, over 10,000 transactions. Has anyone done a 1031 here by any chance? Okay. Does anyone want to do a 1031 by any chance or looking to do that? Okay, excellent. So feel free to reach out to us. We obviously have an exhibit table out there. We're happy to get you in touch with the appropriate individuals. All right, enough about that. Myself, Equity Trust, let's just jump in here. Roth IRA is what we're going to start with. Who here does not have a Roth IRA? Who here has children or maybe even grandchildren that don't have Roth IRAs? Okay, excellent. It is my firm belief, some of you heard me say this yesterday morning, that every man, woman, and child in this country should have a Roth IRA. And yes, every man, woman, and child in this country can have a Roth IRA. In fact, I worked with a 15-year-old girl, actually her parents. David, you probably know them, Gary and Jan, their daughter Brittany. 15-year-old opens up a Roth IRA. Now, a lot of people ask me, well, John, how can a 15-year-old have a Roth IRA when you have to have earned income? Earned income being income that you're paying Medicare and Social Security tax on. How do you think you could get a minor child earned income? What are your options? Most of you have real estate businesses or you're starting one, right? Right, pay your children. So they were able to pay their daughter, Brittany. She opened up a Roth IRA. The account was funded. They began flipping houses, partnering her IRA with their IRAs. On one transaction alone, her Roth IRA only had 3% interest in the property, but ended up making about $5,000 tax-free. Fast forward, Brittany goes to law school. She was able to distribute money from the Roth IRA and avoid the 10% premature withdrawal penalty to pay for her higher educational expenses. What's interesting is you'll find you can actually distribute money from a Roth IRA prior to 59 and a half if certain exceptions are met, and that was one of those exceptions. And as they build their Roth IRAs as a family, eventually when Gary and Jan pass away, they're able to leave those Roth IRAs to Brittany. And does Brittany pay any taxes? 0% tax. There's not another strategy that I know of or account type that I know of in the country that is more powerful than a Roth IRA. The HSA, which we'll get into in a moment, I think is very, very powerful as well. But from a tax-free investing perspective in your lifetime, for your retirement, and to leave a legacy, I know of no other strategy. Could you own real estate and take advantage of depreciation and then eventually die and take advantage of step-up in basis? Maybe 1031 exchange and then take advantage of step-up in basis. Yes, you could. Do we find that that ability continues to get threatened by acts of law? Yes, we do. But let's assume that it continues. Do you get to enjoy that money in your lifetime? No. But like David said before, his wife has expensive taste, right? Maybe you do too. Maybe you want to enjoy the fruits of your own labor. A Roth IRA allows you to do that totally tax-free. For those of you that are brand new to this, the definition of a Roth IRA is very simple, the mechanics of it. You put money in, you don't get a tax deduction. Why? You don't want the deduction. Because all of your growth is tax-free, and then all of your distributions are 100% tax-free, right? I like to say you eliminate the partnership with the IRS. See, right now, every dollar you make that you don't put into a retirement account is going to get taxed over and over and over again, right? I think you guys all understand that concept. You are in partnership with the IRS. Let's talk about a traditional IRA for a moment. The pre-tax accounts that some of you mentioned that you have that you're likely going to start converting to a Roth IRA. You are in, like it or not, you are in partnership with the IRS. But here's the deal that you entered into with the IRS by putting money in and getting a deduction now. Because you get the deduction now, you agreed verbally, and I guess you could say in writing, with the IRS that you are in partnership with them. But the IRS and the government is going to decide what percentage they get to take from you at the end of the deal. Would any of you enter into a business deal with someone where they get to decide what percentage they take after you worked all these years that hard for that money? And oh, by the way, that business partner you have isn't going to put any money in the deal, and they're not going to put any effort in the deal. They're going to bring nothing to the table. But they get to decide what percentage they get later on in life. And guess what? If they decide they want to go spend something frivolously, they just increase their partnership with you. Does that make any sense to you guys? No. So what we teach people how to do here is how to get rid of that partnership with the IRS. The Roth IRA does that. The HSA does that. And as I'll talk about at the very end, the solo 401k with a Roth component is going to do that for you. Now, how much can you contribute to a Roth IRA? Very simple. $7,000 when you're under the age of 50. When you're 50 and over, there's a catch-up contribution of $1,000, $8,000. The IRS just announced yesterday the contribution limits for an IRA for 2025. Unfortunately, they don't think there's any inflation going on. That was a bad joke. So they haven't increased these amounts. So everyone after today needs to write their congressmen and women and say, this is ridiculous. I should be able to contribute more to their IRA. You guys going to do that for me? Okay. So $7,000 next year, $8,000 if you're 50 and over. So if you have not contributed for this year, let's assume you have earned income. If you don't, devise a way to do that. Contribute $7,000 or $8,000 now. At the turn of the year, you contribute another $7,000 or $8,000. So for those of you that are under the age of 50, between now and the turn of the year, you're looking at $14,000. If you're 50 and over, $16,000. Now, who has a spouse? Who's married? Okay. Who's not married? Okay. Look around, and this may... I know, bad jokes. Okay. If you are working and your spouse is not, as long as you are on a married filing joint tax return, which most people are, only one spouse has to have earned income. It's called a spousal IRA contribution. You can write it down. It's not a special type of account. Just like self-directed IRA, as you guys hear that term, that's not a special type of account under Section 408 of the Internal Revenue Code. All self-directed is an industry term. It just indicates to you that you have the ability to self-direct into real estate. Spousal IRA contribution is the same. You just open up an IRA for your spouse, and your earned income is going to support their contribution. So two spouses between now and the end of the year, let's say it's somebody under the age of 15, under the age of 50, you got $14,000 going into spouse A, $14,000 going into spouse B. So what's that total amount? $28,000. Is $28,000 enough to do real estate deals? It can be, yes. Now, some of you might look to get creative. That's where I'm going to show you some examples here in a little bit of partnering multiple accounts together or doing real estate joint ventures with financial teammates. Financial teammates is the term I like to use. Most of you here are financial teammates to one another. You can partner your accounts together, do deals, and take a large percentage of the profit. Again, I'll show you examples of that. Everybody with me on contributions? Contributions every single year to your IRA are incredibly important. Far too many people fail to contribute to their IRA. There is no harm you're ever going to do by contributing to an IRA. Because here's the deal. If you ever desperately need the money to pay for whatever, you have the ability to distribute the money. It's not like you put the money in and you lock it up and you throw away the key. You can take it out anytime you want. Could there be a penalty? There could be, but it's not the end of the world. Now, not everybody in America is allowed to contribute to a Roth IRA directly. There are earned income limits. They're called modified adjusted gross income limits, MAGI or MAGI, some people say. For most people, their MAGI is their AGI. Okay? Adjusted gross income. Here's the way it works. If you're single and you make between 146 and 161, they call this the phase-out range. You can only make a fraction of the contribution of $7,000 or $8,000. Most people don't even contribute to the Roth if they're in that situation. If you're under 146, you contribute directly to a Roth IRA. Very easy. So for those of you that have children or adult children, they have earned income contributing to their Roth IRAs, great, they're probably just going to go directly into the Roth IRA. And I will tell you, if you think about it, for the younger generation out there, maybe you're helping a child or grandchild, what do they have that you might not have?
Time.
Time value money, compounding interest in the absence of taxation, incredibly powerful. Time. If you don't have time, then what do you need to do? You need to increase your yield. You need to be creative, right? Increase your yield. If you can increase your yield, you're still going to have very good compounding effects. All right, back to the MAGI. What about married filing jointly? If you're married filing jointly and you're 230 to 240, there's a phase out there again. You can only contribute a fraction to the Roth. If you're under 230, you're good. You can contribute directly to the Roth. Now, what is the solution here? The solution is something, as you can see on the bottom there, called a backdoor contribution. Write it down, backdoor contribution. Some of you are going to need to do this every single year. And if you do need to do this, you should be proud of yourself because it means you have high income. So how does this work? You simply contribute to a traditional IRA. See, a traditional IRA, which is a tax-deferred account, you put money in, you get a deduction, and then you got to pay taxes when you take the money out. You're in partnership with the IRS. We're showing you how to not be in partnership with the IRS. So the way you do that is you contribute to a traditional IRA first, and then you immediately convert over to a Roth IRA. Why does this even exist? Back in 2006, there was a tax law that was passed that went into effect in 2010. It said that if you made under $100,000 modified adjusted gross income prior to 2010, you could convert from traditional to Roth. But if you made $100,000 or greater, you weren't allowed to convert from traditional to Roth. So most high-income earners could never have a Roth IRA prior to 2010. They changed those laws, which opened up this backdoor approach in 2010. So what you need to know is you need to do a backdoor if you're over these income limits or you are in the future. You simply contribute to a traditional IRA first, and then you immediately convert over to a Roth IRA. Do you need to set up separate Roth IRAs every single year? What do you think?
No.
No, you don't. Who already has a Roth IRA with Equity Trust? Okay, excellent. You want to make a contribution. You're over these income limits. You set up a traditional IRA. We call it a pass-through. You dump your contribution in, $7,000 or $8,000, and then you immediately convert it over to the Roth IRA. Everybody with me on the back door? All right. Everybody with me that everyone should have a Roth IRA? Very simple. Okay. Moving on here. Roth conversion. All right. I just said Roth conversion backdoor, but a Roth conversion in the traditional sense of a Roth conversion is this. You have pre-tax money. So all of you that raised your hand before and said, I have pre-tax money, an old 401k, an old SEP IRA or simple IRA or TSP or 403b, in many cases, those are all pre-tax accounts. So you got money into the account through contributions, through your earnings, and you got a deduction for it, right? So you didn't pay taxes on the seed. So what happens eventually when you take money out? You got to pay taxes on the crop. But you have the option, the government gives you the option because you're going to pay the taxes now. In fact, the government is incentivizing people, if you will, to convert to Roth because they need tax revenues. They're actually passing laws that make this easier. So what you do is you take your pre-tax money and you just convert it over to a Roth. It's very easy to do. So you'll have a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA with Equity Trust, which of course are self-directed. All of our accounts at Equity Trust are self-directed. You move your money into the traditional IRA from your old 401k or 403b or thrift savings plan, and then you decide how much money you convert to the Roth and when you want to convert it to the Roth. You can convert all of your money. You can convert just a portion of your money. It's entirely up to you. There's two strategies that I want you to write down right now with Roth conversion. Strategy number one, convert in stages. You see it up there. Convert in stages. Strategy number two is convert deal specific. So just write those down now. Convert in stages, convert deal specific. Let me give you an example of convert in stages. Husband and wife that I started working with many years ago, Kevin and Cynthia, they're from St. Louis. David, you may know them. They had traditional IRAs from an old 401ks in corporate America. They rolled over those accounts into traditional IRAs with Equity Trust, self-directed, of course. So Kevin and Cynthia both had their respective traditional IRAs. One of them had about $55,000, the other one had about $70,000. And what they did over 2011 and 2012 is they converted in stages. So they converted one of their accounts in 2011 and then another account in 2012. Now that's an example of a husband and wife converting in stages, just spreading out each of their accounts. That spread their tax burden out over 2 years. Why do people consider converting in stages? Well, remember, the amount you convert is added to your 1040 as ordinary income, and then you pay taxes based on your effective tax rate. You don't have to pay penalties, you just have to pay taxes. Now, how do you pay the tax bill? How do you think Kevin and Cynthia paid their tax bill? Do you think they withheld from the account, or did they pay for the taxes out of pocket? Out of pocket. If you withhold from the account and you're under 59 and a half, you're subject to a 10% premature withdrawal penalty and ordinary income taxes. And if you withhold from the account, what are you effectively doing? Losing money. Good. You're cannibalizing the account, I call it. So you want to preserve those tax-free Roth dollars because those Roth dollars make more Roth dollars and you have compounding interest in the absence of taxation. Now, some of you might convert all of your money this year. Some of you might convert some now and then some at the turn of the year. See, we're in an interesting period of time. We're only 2 months away from the end of the year. So here's a strategy maybe to consider and start running the numbers on, maybe even talk to your CPA about. Convert some now, convert some at the turn of the year. Over the course of about 2.5 months, you're actually going to effectively spread your tax burden over 2 years. Making sense? Convert in stages. All right, number two, convert deal specific. Let me give you a quick example of this, and it's a small dollar investment. A client of mine, Scott, is in the self-storage business. He's very good at finding motivated sellers in more rural areas in Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, in the Midwest, if you will. He finds a self-storage building, motivated seller, mom and pop, and he negotiates to be able to tie up the property with an option. He needed $2,000 for the option fee. He didn't have $2,000 in the Roth IRA, but he had traditional IRA funds. He knew he was going to make anywhere between $20,000 to $25,000 on the deal. So he converted $2,000 from his traditional to his Roth. At that time, he was at about a 25% effective tax rate all in. 25% of $2,000 is how much? $500. So he pays $500 in taxes, right? Think of it this way, going back to our partnership. Buy out your partner. When you do a conversion, you're buying out that partner, the IRS, now. You increase the value of the business in sell, and your profitability is that much greater. So that's exactly what he did. He converted the $2,000 to the Roth, pays the $500 in taxes when he eventually filed his tax return. He then went out and tied up this self-storage building on an option. The Roth IRA was the optionee. So the only difference in the contract was instead of it saying Scott, it said Equity Trust Company Custodian, FBO for benefit of, Scott's Roth IRA. And the contract was assignable. He assigned the contract to an investor buyer, somebody that was going to close on the $750,000 purchase of this self-storage building. His option fee, Scott's option fee, was $20,000. So the $20,000 went back into the Roth IRA, deposited with Equity Trust, 0% tax, because it's in the Roth IRA. So now his Roth IRA has over $22,000. Is that making sense to you? Would you rather pay taxes on $2,000 or $22,000? Does anyone do real estate options here or creative deals like that? That's something you can consider doing. I'm not going to say you can do hundreds of those. How many can you do a year? One, maybe two. It's a gray area, but you do want to be careful with that. Okay, everybody with me on those two strategies to be thinking about? And you want to be thinking about that right now, right? Don't wait until December, let's say 15th, and start trying to scramble to figure this out. Why do I say that? I've been doing this for nearly 20 years. That's what people do, right? They wait until the last minute, just reality. Be thinking about this now. Why? Because you got a hard deadline coming up here. If you want to convert from your traditional to your Roth, and you want to get it in for the tax year 2024, it's got to get done by December 31. A lot of people get confused by this because they hear, oh, I can wait until next April 14th or April 15th to make my 2024 contribution to an IRA. Well, yes, that's true, but why wait? A conversion's got to get done by December 31, especially for those of you that are doing that backdoor approach. Okay, moving on here. When you establish your equity trust account, some of you already have your accounts. Some of you are going to establish those accounts between or across today and tomorrow. There's different funding methods that you should be aware of. So the first step of the process, of course, is establishing your account. And then you're going to fund your account. So maybe you have a 401k, a 403b, a 457 TSP. You have an old employer plan. Does anyone here have an old employer plan that they'd be looking to roll over? Okay, excellent. For those of you that raised your hand, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get with Christian over here. I'll introduce him in a little bit here. Christian is a senior IRA counselor. And then also with us is Ken Weber. He actually oversees our entire IRA counselor team. So you'll get with Christian and or Ken, and they will help you establish your account. You will then call your employer plan provider, and you will initiate a direct rollover. Keep in mind, when you do a direct rollover to your IRA, there's no taxes or penalties. You're just rolling over dollar per dollar from one account to another. If you then decide to convert to a Roth, that's when you would, at that point, have some taxes, because you're going to say, hey, I'm getting rid of this IRS partnership. I'm going to convert everything over to the Roth, pay the taxes now. So that's the fundamentals of a rollover. Everybody clear on that? Those that need to do a rollover? So you're going to establish your account with Ken and or Christian, and then you will start your rollover process. All right, number two, transfer from an existing IRA. If you have an existing IRA at Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, whatever provider, you're going to transfer a portion or all of that money into your self-directed IRA. No taxes or penalties, of course. So you're going to get into cash, and you're going to transfer that cash into the Equity Trust IRA. If you want to transfer all of your IRA money, that's fine. But for some of you, you might say, I just want to move a portion of it over to Equity Trust to get started, and then I'll move more money over to a later date. One thing you'll find about our firm from a transparency perspective, an educational perspective, is that we don't pressure people to move all their money to Equity Trust. Financial services, you will see, is very much geared, especially financial advisory services, is very much geared to get all of your wealth into their institution. That's how they're incentivized and compensated. We take a much different approach at Equity Trust. Much of this is the spirit of Dick Desich, who is the legacy founder I mentioned. He spent a lot of time within this group, and a lot of folks got to know him. That's something that he preaches day in and day out. That's not the approach we're going to take as a financial services firm. You are in control of your retirement account here. You make all the decisions. You do all the due diligence. And ultimately, you're the one that gets to take all the upside. It's not the other financial services model, which is you invest all the money, you take on all the risk, but you only get a third or a half of the profit. That's the reality in that particular business. Self-directed, you are now in a realm where you get to take advantage of all of the upside, and you don't have to share that with someone that didn't take on the risk. All right, contribution. So you can contribute to an IRA. We showed you what those contribution limits are. And then number four is Roth conversion, which we just talked about, converting from traditional to Roth. The process is pretty straightforward. You're going to establish your account, and you want to make sure that you have that done well in advance. Because remember, if you have 401ks, other types of accounts to move into the IRA, those other financial institutions are generally not going to be willing to just move the money overnight. The biggest problem that I see in this industry and the biggest pitfall is folks fail to have their account established and funded in advance. And then they find a great opportunity, and guess what happens? What do you think? They miss out on the deal. They either miss out on the deal or they give themselves and everybody else around them an absolute headache. I see it all the time with spouses. I've become like a marital counselor over the years. You know, because one spouse is relying on the other spouse, right, to take care of all the paperwork, all right? And what do you think happens there, right? So make sure you have this set up and funded well in advance. The two-step process is pretty straightforward here. You're going to establish your account with your IRA counselor, which is going to be Christian or Ken, and then you're going to work with a single point of contact onboarding specialist. So this is something within Equity Trust we provide to our clients. You will work with a single point of contact onboarding specialist that will actually help you fund your account and help you with your first real estate transaction. Okay, that being said, let me do this. Let me pause for a moment. We did pass out those forms, right, Christian and Ken? I believe, does everybody have, can I steal this from you if you don't mind? So everybody has one of these forms, okay? If you don't have a form, we'll get you, I was going to give you this one and just steal it from him, but I won't. We'll get you one. What I want you to do, yeah, you probably don't. I'll give this one to her. So what you're going to want to do is fill out this form. If you want to establish an account with Equity Trust, you're going to fill out this form. You can take a few moments to fill it out. The important part is the top section, and then it's probably going to be a traditional and or Roth that you're going to be opening. You're going to fill out that form, and then you're going to hand it back to Christian and or Ken when you leave here. What they will do is start plugging in the information, and we can have your account or accounts set up and ready to go for you before the end of the weekend. It only takes about 3 to 5 minutes. Now, you're not going to fund your account here this weekend, okay? We're going to help you with that when the dust settles next week or the following week, okay? Just get started with the account open process here so we can get all of that kicked into gear. At the very end, I am going to provide to you some gifts, if you will, that you will get for doing that, okay? And some help in terms of getting additional education going forward. All right, let me pause on that. Let's jump into some examples, HSAs and solo 401ks. All right, Roth IRA and HSA investing. So a lot of people are interested in this HSA, and you're going to find out why that is. I personally am a huge, huge proponent of it. I am lending money right now as aggressively as I can with my self-directed HSA, and you're going to see the reason why in just a moment. Who already has a health savings account, HSA? Okay, excellent. You may or may not already know this, but that HSA, even if you're going to still work with that company that you have the HSA, if you will, through, you can transfer that HSA to an equity trust HSA. In other words, it's not like a 401k. A lot of people think their HSAs are tied up like a 401k. While you're still working there, you can't move it. You can absolutely transfer an existing HSA, no matter what, into a self-directed HSA. You can have two HSAs. You can maintain that HSA, set up a new HSA with Equity Trust, and just do a bank-to-bank transfer. No taxes or penalties. What is the beauty of an HSA? Write this down. Triple the tax benefits. There's no other account that we talk about that allows this. In fact, I don't think there's any other type of account or structure in the tax code that even allows this. Triple the tax benefits no matter what your income is. You contribute to an HSA, you get a tax deduction. It grows tax-free. You take the money out, you pay 0% tax. Now, of course, there's rules here. When you take the money out, what does that money have to be used for? Medical. Now, it's pretty broad. It's interesting. Now, don't push the envelope. You know, I've had people that say, well, I'm going to use this to get a massage. Well, it's actually possible to do that, okay? All right, let me not absolutely discount that. But I've had people like, well, I'm going to put a new swimming pool in my backyard and use my HSA. Okay, that's probably not a good idea, right? Use it for qualified medical expenses. How much can you contribute every year to an HSA? They're up here. If you have a single policy, you're under the age of 55, you can contribute $4,150, and you get a $4,150 tax deduction, all right, no matter what your income is. And then your family policy you see there is $8,300. If you're 55 and over, there's what's called a catch-up contribution. So you have a catch-up contribution with an IRA starting at 50. HSAs, it starts at 55. $1,000. So for a single policy holder, you're looking at $5,150. For a family, you're looking at $9,300. Again, tax deductible. All of your growth in that HSA. So as I'm lending money secured by real estate and I have interest income coming back in, it's all tax-free. So all of that money goes into my HSA, I pay 0% tax, and then I can take the money out and I pay 0% tax as long as I'm using it for medical-related expenses. Now, I want you to write this down with the HSA. This is probably the most powerful device within the HSA, I'll say, or feature. Healthcare reimbursement. Healthcare reimbursement. David, I'm sure you've heard a lot about this. Healthcare reimbursement. Here's how it works. I'll give you an example. Earlier this year, I had a $3,000 medical bill. Now, I have money in my HSA. What do most people do with their HSAs? They get an HSA debit card. What do they do with that? They spend it, right? They spend it. Most people that come and hear me teach on HSAs, they go home and they cut up their debit card. They cut up their HSA debit card. I'm not telling you to do that, by the way, okay? But the mentality of doing that. Here's the reason why. It's the laws of compounding interest in the absence of taxation. I had the $3,000 medical bill. I didn't take money from the HSA. I paid for that medical bill out of pocket. I took that medical bill and I put it in my archived files in my Google Drive doc, in my Google Drive file, so that way myself and my spouse has access. I am using my HSA and it's growing tax-free. I'm making loans, interest income's coming back in. Instead of paying 30 cents on the dollar in taxes, it's going into my HSA. I don't have to report it as income. It's tax-free. And so now what I can do, let's say from 10 years from now, or it could be 15, 20, whatever. It could be 3 years from now. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, there's no time period on this. I can go back in time and reimburse myself. So let's say 10 years from now, I got that HSA up to $200,000. And maybe I want to take out $3,000. I want to go have fun. I want to do whatever. I don't have to turn a certain age. I don't have to incur that medical expense in that year. 10 years from now, I can distribute $3,000 to reimburse myself for that expense that I had this year. And it's tax-free. Is that powerful? You guys, maybe I'm more excited than other people. This is like, or maybe you guys already know about this? Some of you might. Okay. Now, let me show you an example. So let's apply this to, okay, how do you actually make profit? Well, in HSA, Roth IRA, these accounts, you can do real estate joint ventures, you can lend money, you can, if you have enough in there, you could buy an entire property or rental property, you can invest in syndications, right? You could even invest in things like physical gold and silver. I think we're going to keep this focused to real estate because that's what you want to do and you want to get creative around real estate. But here's one example. This is a loan that I made just a few months ago, and it's a $193,000 loan secured by a property in Ashtabula, Ohio. It's a 4-bedroom, 1-bath that's being converted to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. The borrower is a house flipper who I've made many loans to before. So I made this $193,000 loan, and I have multiple accounts partnered here. I have my Roth funding 80% of the deal, my traditional funding 16%, and my HSA funding 4%. Now, this particular transaction, I believe, will go to about 11 months. So we're about three or four into the deal. It'll probably go 11 months. It's on pace to be paid back in 11 months. So I'll get, of the 14% per annum, at 11 months, I'll get 12.83% on my money. So we run our numbers here. My HSA is forecasted to make $900. Do I pay any taxes? 0% tax. Do I have to report that on a Schedule E or on my 1040? No, it's tax-free. My traditional account stands to make $4,000. That's going to continue to grow tax-deferred. And then my Roth account stands to make $20,000. Do I pay any taxes there? No. Do I have to report it? No. If I get waffled by a bus, who gets the account? My wife. She doesn't pay any taxes, okay? So you can lend money and partner multiple accounts together. Now, let me pause on all this because some of you have probably gone to some other training and say, wait a second, how is John partnering with his other accounts? I thought John was a disqualified person. Under 4975 of the Internal Revenue Code, there are disqualified persons to your IRA. Let me go through those with you in brief. It's very easy to understand, by the way. Anyone up and down the family tree is considered a disqualified person to you. Your parents, your grandparents, your children, your grandchildren. You are a disqualified person to yourself, your spouse, and then your businesses, your trusts, your living trust, your title holding trust, land trust, that are owned 50% or greater by the combined disqualified persons. Essentially, any of your businesses or entities are disqualified persons. And you're going to hear people talk about self-dealing. You can't self-deal between your IRA and a disqualified person. By the way, I've been doing this for nearly 20 years, and I can only count on one hand where I've seen people engage in these types of transactions. Why? Because they get the education and some of the training that they need in order to be able to go through these processes and navigate this. So those are disqualified persons. If we're going to partner with disqualified persons, just like I'm doing here, you need to make sure that you follow the pro rata rules. Write that down, pro rata rules. What does this mean? Whatever percentage I put in per disqualified person is the percentage that has to come out of the deal. All the expenses and all the profits have to flow in and out pro rata. If I did it disproportionately, then I would create a transaction, thus a prohibited transaction. It's a gray area. It's important to understand that you need to follow the pro rata rules. So that's that example there. You'll see well over $24,000, $25,000 in tax-free and tax-deferred profit. One quick caveat here that I think is important to mention. So you notice I have a traditional account. Some people ask me, they say, John, why do you still have a traditional account? Why do you still have a tax-deferred account? Why don't you convert that to a Roth? I am very, very interested in charitable giving later on in life. And when I turn 75 with a pre-tax account, not Roths, Roths don't have this, which is nice, but pre-tax accounts like traditional IRAs have required minimum distributions. It's 73 years of age right now. By the time I get there, it'll be 75. And what the government will say is I'll have to start taking money out. However, I can do something called a QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution. Write it down. For those of you that are younger, like, I don't even care about that. That's so far in the future. But for those of you that are a little bit older, may care. I will tell you, I'm younger if you can't tell already. I do have, some of you have known me for a long time. You'll notice that the gray levels just increase every year, right? That's just what happens. I will say, though, in these necks of the woods, I look for the people with gray hair. I learned a lot of folks out there that have gray hair. Dykes Botiford, I know that a lot of you heard he passed away this past year. He was a mentor to me, I would say. That's the kind of person I want to hang out. Just a little caveat for some of you that are a little bit younger. All right. Yes. QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution. So here's the way it works. I can distribute. This year, it's $105,000 from my pre-tax account. When I distribute it, I send it directly to a qualified charity, and I pay 0% tax. So the traditional account, I got deductions going in. I got tax-deferred savings. I want to give it away to charity anyways. Why not utilize this strategy? Qualified charitable distribution. Okay, I'm going to pause on that topic. If you have questions about it, I can talk to you separately, but I wanted to add that in there because I think it's a powerful tax strategy. You guys with me on that? Okay. Those that are younger are like, I don't care. Those that have gray hair, are you a little bit more interested? A little bit more interested. Okay. Let me show you another partnership example. So this one here, I bought a house in Maple Heights, Ohio. So I'm from the Cleveland area. Our office is in Westlake, for those of you that aren't familiar with our firm. And I bought this house in Maple Heights for $63,000 off of a wholesaler that I met at a local RIA meeting. I partnered my Roth, my traditional, and my non-IRA money, 55, 35, 10%. My strategy on this deal was what I call buy, rent, flip. Buy, take care of the deferred maintenance, the tenant issues, stabilize the property, and then sell it to, usually it ends up being an out-of-state investor that's looking for a good cash-flowing turnkey property. You guys with me on this? You see this a lot, right? Okay, so bought this house with this partnership, 55, 35, 10%. I'm disqualified to myself and with respect to my accounts, but I make sure that I follow the pro rata rules. So I had a renter in the upstairs and downstairs unit. There was about $15,000 in deferred maintenance. There were some tenant issues that I had to resolve as well. I was able to take care of that. All of my rental income was flowing in, 55, 35, 10%. And then all my expenses were flowing out, 55, 35, 10%. Okay? Pretty straightforward, right? Follow the pro rata rules. Sold it 2 years later in May of 2022 for $115,000. The annualized cash-on-cash return was 32%. The total profit was about $39,000. $35,000 of that was all exempt in my Roth in traditional account. So 90% of the capital gains was exempt from taxes. Now, if you do the math on this one, you would find that had I done this deal entirely outside of my account, with the recapture depreciation and the capital gains, I would have paid about $5,000 in capital gains tax. I did it in my self-directed accounts, and 90% of it was sheltered. So I saved $5,000 in taxes. Compounding interest in the absence of taxation. I'd love to just get up here and show you, you know, grand slam transactions, but I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's fair. Base hits and doubles. That's the type of investor I am, by the way. I can show you lots of clients that are a lot smarter than me. Some of them are in this room that have made much larger profits on deals, but I'm a base hits and doubles type of person. I lend money. I do deals like this. All right, you guys with me on this and partnering? Yeah, quick question. That's right. That's right. Yep. So all I do a deal with my IRA, HSA, solo 401k. It's all got to go back into all my profits, got to go back into my account. Now, once you turn 59 and a half or older, you're eligible to take tax and penalty free withdrawals from a Roth or HSA. So, well, not an HSA, but a Roth IRA. An HSA, you can pay for medical anytime. But once you turn 59 and a half or older, you can begin withdrawing from that Roth IRA for personal use, and it's 100% tax free. But yes, to answer your question, all profits need to flow back into that account. Now, a lot of people, when they look at this deal, they're like, that seems pretty complicated, having to split up all those expenses and utilize equity trust to send those checks out and funds go back in. So what a lot of people do is they form what we call a real estate checkbook IRA LLC. We do permit our clients now to be the manager of their IRA-owned LLC. We do, through a subsidiary company, Equity Doc Preparation Services, form the LLC for you, file with the state, obtain an EIN number, and set you up with a self-directed IRA-friendly bank, Titan Bank. So you can set up one of these real estate checkbook IRA LLCs through us. In this example, I'm actually showing my last example, where I have a traditional at 35, a Roth at 55, some non-IRA money at 10%, following the pro rata rules. I form an LLC, I bring in all those accounts into the LLC. I then go to a bank that understands this, Titan Bank. I form an LLC checking account, and then I send all the money into the LLC checking account. And then the LLC goes and acquires the property. You are the manager of that LLC, you are calling all the shots, and you're facilitating the money going in and out of the quote-unquote checkbook IRA, or as we call it here, the real estate checkbook IRA LLC. So remember the pro rata rules, and remember that you can either directly buy the property with the partnership that I showed you, or you can create an LLC partnership, bring all the money into one bank account, and then facilitate all of your transactions from there. Maybe you have multiple properties in here. Maybe you have a property that sells, profits go back in, and you funnel it back into the accounts. So you have a lot of control. You have the opportunity to have a lot of speed as you're conducting transactions. All right, let me go through some more creative transactions. So I know that you guys just saw me talk about the pro rata rule. The pro rata rule applies when you're partnering with whom? Yourself, disqualified persons. 4975 of the Internal Revenue Code if you're interested in looking at that in more detail. By the way, I have educational training on almost everything, I'm not going to say almost, everything that I'm talking about here. I will share that with you. Okay. So investor A, investor B. I'm keeping their names anonymous because they are individuals that actually met each other, and this deal really got put together at this particular convention maybe 3 to 4 years ago. So investor A, he's good at finding opportunities. His challenge is, at that time, he only had a small amount of money in his Roth IRA. He only had about $13,000 and some change in his Roth IRA. Investor A finds the deal. It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house in Dayton, Ohio. He needs $105,000 for the purchase and rehab. Investor A partners up with investor B. Investor B is not a disqualified person. That's the key here, partnering with a non-disqualified person, because you don't have to worry about as much the pro rata rules. So investor A and investor B partner their accounts together. Now, investor B used his Roth in traditional because he had capital in there, but he didn't have to use his IRA. Meaning, if you want to partner your Roth or HSA with another investor, it doesn't have to be their IRA. It could be their non-IRA money. The objective here is that you make tax-free profits. If they have the ability to make tax-free profits, hey, it's a win-win, right? But they're still making profits because you're paying them, right? So here you got investor A puts his money in, investor B puts in his money or his monies. Investor A, if you do the math on the $105,000 purchase and rehab, his Roth IRA only had about 10% into the deal. And then investor B had the other 90%. Separate from the actual deed that had 90-10 undivided interest, they had a joint venture agreement. It was about a 3-page document that simply stated that at the sale of the property, 50% of the net profits would go back to investor A and 50% would go back to investor B. So the title company got a copy of the joint venture agreement and executed on the settlement. 50% of the net profit went back to investor A, which came out to be a total of $47,000. So it was $34,000 in profit plus the principal, over $47,000. So he grew his Roth IRA from just over $13,000 and some change to now over $47,000, and he paid 0% tax. And now he just rinses, repeats, reloads, reinvests into more deals. Investor B, he makes $34,000, so his cash-on-cash return on investment is what? Call it over 35%. So he's happy. Now, how is investor A able to negotiate this with investor B? What do you think? Yeah, investor A found the deal. Now, why? Some of you know more than others, which is okay. So anyone that does know, it's okay to answer. Why do you think investor A didn't structure it as investor B loaning money to investor A's IRA? UBIT, unrelated business income tax. When your IRA borrows money, it has to be what's called a non-recourse loan. You can't sign a personal guarantee. Your IRA is subject to a tax called UBIT, unrelated business income tax. It's also sometimes called unrelated debt financed income tax. And it's on a percentage basis of the property debt. For example, let's say you buy a property. In this example, it's a good example, 90-10%. So if investor A was 90% leveraged, he would pay UBIT tax on 90% of the profits. Now, is that proposition all that bad if that's the way you structure the deal? Not necessarily, because even after he pays the UBIT tax, he's still making a lot of profit. This isn't a UBIT presentation. I have a separate presentation in some education that I can share with you on that. But I do like to make sure when I speak on any subject of self-directed real estate investing, I let people know that UBIT is not a bad thing. There are massive, insane fear mongers out there about UBIT tax. You're not penalizing yourself. It's just a tax, a special tax related to your IRA. If you're paying taxes, after all, what does that mean? You're making profit, okay? Just a quick sidebar for those of you as you engage more in self-directed IRAs. Don't be afraid of UBIT. Actually embrace it. In this case, they were able to structure it where they didn't have UBIT. Now, another example. This one here is Weston. He's from Texas. He found a motivated seller with a 363-acre ranch. $1 million acquisition. Weston only had $6,500 in his Roth IRA. He's only 27 years old. He finds the deal, motivated seller, brings the deal to an investor teammate who funds the deal, a $1 million deal. Weston has an agreement with the financial friend where he puts in $6,500 and he gets 9% of the proceeds upon the sale of the property, not to exceed $50,000. Earlier this year, Weston's Roth IRA received a check for $56,500 after the property was sold. They bought it. They sold it about 5 to 6 months later. Weston got his $50,000 in profit, and he paid how much in taxes? 0% tax. Now, caveat here. You got to be careful. You can't do too many of these deals. If you do too many of these deals, you could actually be subject to unrelated business income tax because your IRA is being run as a trade or business. So I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression here. There, of course, are caveats. So what is Weston's strategy? His strategy is just do one of these transactions. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, right? You guys have probably heard that before. Okay, another land agreement. This is Ken with his Roth IRA. He puts $6,300 approximately into the deal. Partners up with an investor teammate. They buy two parcels, one a 25-acre parcel, another one 1.6-acre parcel. And they, 2 years later, sold the property and split the profits 80-20. Ken's Roth IRA made just over $47,000 tax-free. So I'm showing you a few of these examples just so you can become more cerebral of how you can do small dollar deals with a Roth or HSA. A lot of people get caught up in thinking, I need to have millions of dollars in an IRA to be able to do deals. That's not necessarily the case. Everybody's in a little different situation and needs to start somewhere. This is an equity participation loan. Caveat, you can't do these in all states. Make sure you work with a local attorney. But for those of you that are in the right state, which is most states, you can lend money and actually charge a percentage of the profits. This is called an equity participation loan, or sometimes referred to as a shared appreciation loan. I know, David, you're very passionate about these. So Scott, on a self-storage deal, he made a $50,000 loan. Scott found the deal, brought it to an investor teammate. Scott used his Roth IRA and made a $50,000 loan, charged 12% of the net profit and 12% on the sale of the property. It was only a two-year deal. They bought, they increased the value through the renovations, and then they sold it to an individual turnkey buyer. His Roth IRA made a total profit of $56,450 for an annualized return on investment of 56.5%. Okay, so that's equity participation loan. Last couple slides here, solo 401k. I'm just going to pause on questions for the remainder of the time because we're getting close to time. But certainly after this, I'll answer any questions. We'll be here for the next day and a half. Solo 401k with Roth component. Who's interested in this type of structure, or this type of account? Who came here to learn a little bit about this? Okay, solo 401k. This is for the solopreneur, call it, the self-employed individual. That could be you, self-employed, filing a Schedule C, Schedule SE. That could be you with an S-Corp. That could be you with a corporation. But usually it's an S-Corp, or it's an LLC pass-through, or just a self-employed Schedule C, Schedule SE. You're doing business as yourself. That's fine. If you have earned income in your self-employed business, if you will, you can utilize a solo 401k structure or solo 401k plan. Now, let me pause for a moment. It's not a competition. Can you have a Roth IRA and a solo 401k? What do you think? Yes. Could you have a Roth IRA, a solo 401k, and an HSA? 100%. And I would encourage everyone to do that if they qualify. The solo 401k gives you a tax-deductible bucket and a tax-free Roth bucket. Here's how this works. The benefits are here on the right-hand side. Number one, higher contributions. Number two, ability to contribute more to a Roth account type. Roth IRA, $7,000 or $8,000 this year, and like we talked about, next year. But with a solo 401k, in addition to that Roth IRA contribution, you can also contribute to a solo 401k up to $23,000 when you're under the age of 50, and then up to $30,500 when you're 50 and over. And then if you have enough earned income in that business, you do have to have enough earned income, okay? You got to be paying yourself enough. So those of you that are working it where you go down to zero, which I understand are some folks out there, all right, and I appreciate why you might be doing that, that's not going to work for you. You're not going to be able to just stuff a bunch of passive income into a solo 401k. It's got to be earned income. But if you have enough earned income, you're looking at up to $69,000 into the solo 401k when you're under the age of 50. And when you're 50 and over, up to $76,500. If you have any pre-tax money, traditional IRA money, SEP IRA, simple IRA, pre-tax 401k money, you can roll that money over into the solo 401k. You're allowed to do that. The only IRA that you can't roll over into the solo is a Roth IRA. If you have a Roth IRA, you can't dump it into the solo 401k. You can only go pre-tax into the solo. The last benefit that you see here is, in most instances, not all, but in most, the 401k can borrow money and not pay unrelated business income tax, aka unrelated debt financed income tax. A lot of people don't know that. So for those of you that leverage is super important, like that is the main strategy that you're utilizing, then you might want to look at how can I have a solo 401k, all right? And that might mean that you need to start, let's say, a micro business. Because here's the reality. If you don't have earned income, you are not getting a solo 401k. Now, I'll tell you, you can Google solo 401k providers, and there's a lot of them out there that as long as you give them enough money, they'll open it for you despite what the IRS says. Not something I'm going to do. Why? Because we have a lot more to risk than the company with five employees in a shopping center somewhere. So you got to be really, really careful. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, if you will, to some of our competitors, but that's just the truth of the matter, okay? Why do I know that? Because I get calls every day from people that say, oh, I think I made a mistake and I've been using a solo 401k and I don't actually qualify. It's quite aggravating. So make sure that you do this the right way. If you're going to do it, maybe that means you set up a micro business. Okay, so now you got the solo 401k. We talked about the Roth IRA. We talked about the HSA. You got the solo 401k, and you understand the benefits of the solo 401k. For some of you, it might work. For some of you, it may not. And remember, you can have both an IRA and you can have a solo 401k. And all of these account types, of course, are self-directed, meaning you can make loans secured by real estate, you can invest in real estate, you can do real estate joint ventures, equity participation loans, so on and so forth. Okay, a couple closing slides here. And Ken and Christian, if you want to join me up here, and then Jill, if you want to get ready with the bag for the drawing, we'll do that. So here's the marching orders going forward, okay? I showed you this slide. Step one is establish your account. Step two is to work with your onboarding specialist. So we are going to help you here over the next day to open your account. That might be a Roth, that might be a traditional, that might be both if you need to do the back door. Maybe you have a 401k, like some of you said. You're going to open what type of account first? Traditional IRA, self-directed, of course. We're going to get those accounts open for you, and then we will help you with the funding in the coming days, coming weeks. All right, but you want to make sure you start this process and then work with your onboarding specialist. So that's what we're here to do to help you with. Now, your marching orders. Establish and fund your account. If you set up your account and start the process between now and tomorrow, your $50 setup fee is going to be waived. And then in addition to that, we are also going to set you up with a free digital course called our Self-Directed IRA Master Course. I think some of you may already have this. For those of you that don't, that are establishing an account, we're going to get you set up with this. This is not something you have to wait to get in the mail. We're going to digitally sign you up for this. There's no separate fees or ongoing fees. Now, generally, this is $997. You're getting this for free when you start your account process between now and tomorrow. In this digital course, you have over 20 hours of video content. This took me over 200 hours to assemble, and I'll say the last nearly 20 years to assemble for you. UBIT, case studies, examples, we go through it all. There's also something called a Master Transaction Handbook, where we actually have copies, samples of equity participation loans, joint venture agreements, a lot of the transactions that I showed you in there, and then video tutorial walkthroughs of how all of it works. That way you can give that to your real estate attorney and they can draft things accordingly. So those are going to be the marching orders to set up your account with Christian and or Ken, and then we're going to give you the digital course to get started. The form that was handed out, you want to make sure you fill that out. And then you're going to want to hand it to either Christian or Ken when you depart from the room. That way, what they can do is send you a text message. Make sure you have your phone number on there. They will send you a text message when they are ready to start the process digitally. It only takes about 3 minutes at our table outside. So you just have to give them a few pieces of information so we can create the financial account. Your account will be up and running by Monday at the latest, and you'll be ready to start the funding process. You will be assigned an onboarding specialist at this same time that's going to be able to call you and walk you through the completion of the funding and, of course, the first investment that you intend on making. So this is Christian Cantu. He's a senior IRA counselor, been with us for a number of years. Okay, he's going to really be able to dig into the details with you in terms of making sure that the right account is funded, etc. Ken Weber here has also been within the company for a number of years, both very close friends of mine. And these are the gentlemen that are going to be able to help you going forward. I will be around as well over the next couple days to help you through the process. Christian or Ken, anything that I missed? Okay, excellent. I hope you guys got a lot out of this session. I know I speak very fast, but it's short time, and I just try to give you guys as much as possible and packed in a short, condensed period of time. You guys good with that? Okay, excellent. So, what's that? Okay, so we have a big bag of names. I have a $300 Home Depot. Is anyone anti-Home Depot? I hope not. I'm a Menards guy. Who's like, does anybody shop at Menards? Oh my God. I've never been to a place. It's like a magical place. I got 2x4s, I got shiplap, and I got a rack of ribs and a gallon of milk. It's like, this is great. I love it. Anyways, can't get that at Home Depot, but Monsters and beef jerky. Okay. Mr. Randolph, do you mind pulling? The man that I admire to be, the Roth, one of the godfathers of the Roth.
Just so you know, that solo 401k is so important that I fired my son because you can't have any employees. True story, I fired him because I said, son, I got to open up one of these solo 401ks.
All right, we got to be present. Q-U-C-A-T-I-N Graves?
Quentin.
Sorry, wow. And I'm teaching you guys about tax. Thank you, I appreciate that. Awesome. All right, thank you all, appreciate it. Make sure to drop off. I appreciate that. Awesome. All right, thank you all, appreciate it. Make sure to